How many are glad to be in the house of God? Are you glad to be here? This chair looks comfortable, doesn't it? Let's put this over here where we can kind of get something going. There we go. Well, today, we are starting a brand new series that we are labeling entitled, Get Out of Our Comfort Zone. Getting out of your comfort zone. Getting out of your comfort zone. I remember when I was 19, my first year in college, I was praying this prayer that God would change me and God would help me to grow in my walk with Him. And I was praying this prayer, God, help me to see people the way you see them. And it was shortly after that that I went out to eat one afternoon with a bunch of friends from college, and there was a waiter who was waiting on us, and that waiter began to see the joy that we had in our life, and I began to engage him in conversation. And the more I engaged him in conversation, the more I found out that he was a person who was just on his last hope of despair. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if this person was not headed to suicidal tendencies. I mean, this person, I could tell, just had no joy in their life, and they were just at the point when I began to talk to him, even in a public restaurant, that the tears began to well up in his eyes. And so as I began to witness to him and talk to him, and I invited him as we left, I said, you know, I want you to come over to the campus with me, and I'll show you around the campus. I mean, I showed him around the college campus, and we walked around, and I remember sitting down with him and spending time answering some questions and talking about my faith. And I remember asking him if he wanted to accept Jesus, as he looked at me and said, I just need something different. He said, yes. And I remember him falling to his knees right there in my dorm room. This young man falling to his knees, and I'm leading him through the sinner's prayer. And he got up, and his whole countenance changed. This young man went on to get involved in ministry later on in his life, and it was an awesome testimony. But I remember that day so well because it was a day that changed my life. It was a day that I realized that my everyday interaction does not need to be the same as I've always lived my life. That there's a comfort zone that we live in that God's wanting you and I to get out of. And it changed my life. You know, behind me today is a recliner. And everybody in your house has one of these, I think. How many in your house you have a recliner? Raise your hand if you have a recliner. How many really like, what's the best thing about recliners? Recline, that's right, besides sleeping. I mean, this is good. Now, if you're listening to this message over the internet today and you can't see what's going on, I'm actually sitting in a Lazy Boy recliner and my feet are up, and that's just what's happening here today, is we're talking about getting out of our comfort zone. And you know what? I could preach all day from right here. This is good. I could preach right here. You could put the scriptures up on the overhead, you know. We have to get up. There's something about the comfort of a recliner, isn't there? There's something about the comfort of a recliner. I think there's a law that says when you're a grandparent, you must have, you know, matching recliners. Isn't it not? I never met a grandma and grandpa who didn't have a matching recliners. You know, back in the day, it used to be rocking chairs. Now, it's recliners, you know, because we've got to rock the grandkids to sleep, and we've got to take care. But, you know, this is a comfort thing. We can do a lot from right here, can't we? We can eat right here. We can watch our favorite game right here. We can you know, just relax. If you're like me, when you have sinus trouble, you can sleep right here, and it helps keep the drainage down. You know what I'm talking about? Or some of you guys, not that I've ever been in trouble before, but some of you guys, maybe you've had to sleep on a recliner a few times. But anyway, you can do a lot in the recliner. And there's something that's a symbolic of comfort that comes with a recliner, isn't it? I mean, you think about comfort, being comfortable. And we're in society today, it's all about comfort, isn't it? And we want comfortable shoes and comfortable clothes. And we want to have a comfortable bank account. And we want to have a comfortable home. And, you know, we want our car to drive comfortable. You know, we want everything needs to be about comfort, about pampering us. We want pedicures and manicures and our hair done and spa treatments and massages. I mean, we're about a society about being comfortable. We like to be comfortable, and it's not a bad thing in itself. But comfort seems to be something that follows us every day of our life. We like to be comfortable. And today I want to talk to you about this thing. I've titled this sermon today, Defeating the Lazy Boy Spirit. Defeating the Lazy Boy Spirit. Because every one of us, we like our lazy boys. We like our recliners. And a lazy boy is a name brand of recliner. Maybe you don't have a lazy boy. Maybe yours is another name brand. But you know what I'm getting at today when I'm talking about lazy boy. And our culture is all about being comfortable. And I wonder, was Jesus really talking about comfort when he said this? Let's bring those scriptures up in Matthew 10:16. I wonder if Jesus was sitting in a recliner thinking about this right here. You know what? I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Now, how many know sheep are very comfortable around wolves? Are sheep, aren't they? Aren't sheep very comfortable? No, they're terrified around wolves. Man, they are nervous. Man, you're talking about bad thing happening, man. It's bad news. They're very uncomfortable. He also said in Matthew 28, we see this in verse 19 and 20, where he's given the great command to us. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, how many know it's very easy to go just like this? Man, it's very easy to go somewhere just like this. It's not, is it? I don't think Jesus had comfort in mind when he was telling us to go out and make disciples. I don't think Jesus had comfort in mind when he said, hey man, I'm putting you out there like a bunch of sheep among wolves. He wasn't saying, hey, you're going to be comfortable. He didn't say, hey, it's going to be so easy. It's going to be lovely. You're going to love it. You see, something that happens about this comfortable spirit. And I want to talk to you today about some of these things, about getting rid of this lazy boy spirit. First thing is very clear. We must learn to become uncomfortable. We must learn this because God got uncomfortable with us, didn't he? You say, how did God get uncomfortable? Well, we see in Scripture where, what did he do? He left a heavenly throne. He left heaven. I'm in heaven. He left heaven to do what? To come down here and to live and to work and to sweat and to labor. And more so, what else did he do? He gave his life. I mean, that was very comfortable, wasn't it? When they took him and they beat his back, tore the flesh and shredded his back open with the cat of nine tails when they whipped him, when they took that crown of thorns and shoved it on his head. That was very much comfortable, wasn't it? I'm sure when they nailed him to a cross and pierced his hands and his feet with the nails and hung him up in the air to be suspended, can't breathe because his lungs are filling up with fluid and he's struggling. And every time he has to breathe, he's got to lift himself up. And when he lifts himself up, he's got the pressure of the wounds and the nails pressing against his wounds. I mean, it was very comfortable for him, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. And so Jesus modeled this life of not being comfortable all the time. And we are not called to always be comfortable. As there comes a time in our Christian walk when he is calling us to become uncomfortable. Because there's times in our life when he wants us to do things that are not necessary in our human nature. He wants us to do things that are not necessary the way that we want to do them. Because if we lived our life the way we wanted to, what would happen? Tomorrow morning when I got up, what would you do? Kids, you just walk to school. Make your own lunch and breakfast. You know what? My work can just mail me a check in the mail. I can live right here. I mean, if we did what we wanted to do, we would stay comfortable all day long and every day. That's our human nature, is to try to live in a place of comfort. But Jesus said, I've come to take this thing and to make you think about eternity. You know, it's a saying of everyone is facing eternity. Every one of us here, we are facing eternity. It's happening. Whether or not you want to believe it, we all face eternity. And the question we have as we serve God is this: do I want to face eternity in comfort of knowing I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus in a mansion in heaven on streets of gold, you know, the feast and all those things, worshiping God where it's awesome? Or do I want to spend eternity in a place that's not very comfortable, where God calls it a lake of fire, where you'll never be able to die? That's the question where we have to face, first of all. And of course, we know that you know, we want to choose, and most of you here today, you've already made that decision. I want to choose the place of comfort, man. I want to choose eternity with Jesus. But the question is this, then why do we live our life so much for this side of eternity? All my life, I want to live right here where I'm comfortable. You know what? We're going to have eternity to be comfortable with Jesus, man. We're going to have a wedding feast, man. It's going to be like none other, man. We're going to have a feast. We're going to have time of worship. It's going to be a time of awesome time as we receive our heavenly body, man. And it's going to be an awesome thing as we spend eternity with Jesus. But so many of us, we live our life for today. This side of eternity. This side of eternity. Because I want to be comfortable. I want to do what makes me feel good. I want to do what I want to do because I'm selfish. Because I want to be comfortable. I can tell you, I'm a selfish person. When I come home, I tell my kids, get out of my chair. I want my chair. You know, and you know, I don't like to share my chair because I'm selfish. If I'm watching the game, I got to watch it from my chair. My team needs me to sit in my chair. I got to sit in my chair. That's the way we're made as human beings. We want to be comfortable. We don't like to not be comfortable. And today, we've got to learn what it means that we are got to live our life for eternity. Not just for this side of eternity, but all eternity. It's very interesting because if you read the data and do the research, you will see that the longer someone walks with God, the fewer contacts they have with people who are far away from God. The longer somebody is a Christian and they go to church, it seems the further away they get from people who don't know who God is. Now, listen, there's balance to this. And I'm going to share the balance in other messages. There's balance to this. There comes a time when you need to cut some people out of your life if you want to get to where God's calling you to go, okay? But also, there's a time when, you know what, I got to have more than just Christians around me. I got to be reaching out to people who don't know Jesus because he's called me. He's called me to be his disciple. He's called me to go. Matter of fact, we see this. I wonder what these guys think. These four guys, one day, Jesus saw them. He called out to them. You know who they are. We name our kids after them. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You know these guys. They were some of the first disciples. And these guys have been fishing in Mark 1:17. And Jesus calls out to them and says, hey, guys, follow me and I'll make you. And I wonder what they're thinking. What's he going to say next? Hey, guys, follow me and I'll make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. Hey, guys, follow me and I'm going to make you next in the kingdom of God. Hey, guys, follow me, and I'm going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. Hey, guys, follow me, and I'm going to make you the top fisherman in all of Galilee. I mean, they're talking about boats are going to be overflowing with fish. I've got the secret. So I wonder what they're thinking as the Messiah is calling out to them. Jesus is calling out, hey, guys, follow me. And then he follows up that verse with, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fishers of men? What? What kind of sicko is this guy anyway? Fishers of men. You know, we're going to take our nets out and throw these guys and catch them. I guess when the fish aren't biting, we can go catch guys. And you know, what's he talking about? Fishers of men. He was saying, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You see, following Christ means that you and I are called to be fishers of men and women. And we are called to be fishers of people. That God has called you and I to be these kind of fishermen. You know, when I was first accepted Christ in my life, and I can remember at a very young age, being in a Sunday school class when a teacher was teaching about heaven and teaching about hell. They're like, you can either burn forever or you can go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus. Now, I may not have been the smartest kid at the age of about 4 or 5 years old, okay? But I knew one thing. I didn't want to burn. It's a turn to burn, baby. I didn't want to burn. And so I remember saying, yes, I'll accept Jesus. I am not going to burn, you know. And I remember making a decision for Christ because I didn't want to go to hell. But you know what? When I made that decision, I didn't realize the implications that came along with that. I didn't realize that everything when I was a kid that was going to be required of me as a Christian when I accepted Jesus. It's kind of like when you first get married. Andrea and Justin, they just got married about 3 weeks ago. It's good to have you guys back. On your honeymoon, yes. I had the privilege of marrying them about 3 weeks ago. It's like when you first get married, you know. When I'm doing counseling, I say, you know what, there's a lot I want to tell you, but this is some things you're just going to have to learn when you get in there, you know. How many know that marriage is something that you just don't understand everything when you're walking down the aisle and you say, I do. You don't understand everything that's going to come along that goes along with a marriage. You don't understand the complications of working through two different personalities and two different family types and all these things that come blending your hearts together. And man, there's a lot of things that you didn't realize that come along with marriage and the responsibility of raising children and college education and retirement and insurance funds and a house and working and all these things that had to do it. You're like, man, I didn't realize it was going to be this detailed. I didn't realize that when I married her, I got all her debt too. I didn't realize that she had all, you know, it's a lot of things that come into marriage that you don't necessarily realize until you get into it. The same thing that happens as a Christian, that many times we don't realize everything that's required of us that God is calling us to be when we first accept Jesus. That we accept him as our Lord and Savior, but he's also calling us. Let me tell you what he says here in Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, he says, you shall receive power. Say that word, power. Now, the word power, let's stop right there a second. The word power is actually the word, the Greek word here is pronounced dunamis. And it's the word where we get the word dynamite from, okay? So he's talking about an explosive power. He says, you shall receive this dynamite power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. What is a witness? I mean, when I was, you know, 19 years old, leading this young man to God, I didn't have all the Bible answers I needed to have. I didn't know where every scripture was. I didn't say, just a second, let me go to my Bible and I'll tell you here. And in the red in Luke 14 this morning, I was reading, and God says, you know, I didn't have the Romans Road memorized. I mean, there's a lot of things. I didn't know a lot of what I was doing, to be honest with you. But I did know this. I didn't know that Jesus had touched my life, had changed my life, and I would never be the same. And as I shared with him my testimony. I shared with him my witness. And it was through the power of me telling him my testimony that the Holy Spirit came in, took what I was saying, penetrated his heart, moved him, and he wanted to accept Jesus. And I led the young man to the Lord right there in my dorm room. How did that happen? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because on my own, I couldn't have done that. On my own, I didn't know what to say. On my own, I didn't have the nerve to say that. I mean, you talk about being nervous. If you had told me before I went into a restaurant that you're going to meet a guy who needs to know Jesus, you're going to engage him in conversation, you're going to talk to him, you're going to witness to him, you're going to invite him back to the campus, you're going to spend more time with him, a guy you've never met before, and then lead him through the sinner's prayer, what would I have done? I said, I think I'll go to a different restaurant, God. I think I'll just go down the road because I and myself could not do that. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, we as Spirit-filled Christians so much, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And so many times we think the power of the Holy Spirit is just for the manifestations. It's just for the manifestations that go along, the signs and things that happen that follow the power of the Holy Spirit. But listen, he tells it very clear. What is the main purpose of the Holy Spirit in our life is what? To be his witness. If you're full of the Holy Spirit today, do I wear like a banner and say, "Woo, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Look how spiritual I am." Well, get out there and be his witness then. That's why I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It's to be his witness. And he empowers me. He gives me dynamite power, dunamis power to be his witness. That means, man, even when I think I can't break through this wall, that means even when I come against somebody, I think, you know what, this person is such a hard person in their heart. There's no way they'll be soft to hearing the gospel. There's no way they'll be ready to hear. That when I begin to be a witness, what happens? The power of the Holy Spirit can blow any wall up. The power of the Holy Spirit can bring down any wall. He empowers me to do. I'm too shy to say this. believe it or not, I understand. I understand that, man, you tell me right now I'm going to go witness somebody next door, and I'd be like, whew, you know. I get nervous because I'm a shy person. Believe it or not, I can be a shy person. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that he helps me be his witness. And when I yield to his Spirit in my life, I'm able to witness to that person. I don't know exactly what's going to be said, but I know as I open up my life and begin to talk to them, what happens? The Holy Spirit allows me to be a good witness to them. I mean, you'll be amazed how it comes when you allow the Holy Spirit to rule your life and empower you. What I'm talking about today is God can give you the opportunity to turn the mundane into miraculous. You can take a mundane, a thing you do every day, and pretty soon when you begin to open up your eyes and see that God's wanting to empower you to get out of our comfort zone, that God's saying, listen, I know that every day you get up and you get into this element of comfort that you're in. You got to stop by and you get the same place every day, you get the same cup of coffee. You talk to the same person when you walk in the door. You say hi to the same people at work. You hang around the same water cooler. You talk to the same clients. You do all this thing. This comfort thing that we had that God's saying, listen, I want to pull you out of that comfort zone. And I want you to be my witness. I want to empower you to be the witness I've called you to be. It's an opportunity we have every day through the power of the Holy Spirit to be God's witness. We must learn to be seed sowers. You must learn to sow seeds. If you're going to get out of your comfort zone, you got to learn to sow seeds. We see in Matthew chapter 13, write that down in your notes, and you can go back and read that a little bit later this week. Read that story in Matthew chapter 13. Let me paraphrase for you. Basically, Jesus said there was a guy, he was planting seeds, and he threw some out, and when he threw it out, some fell upon the sidewalk, and the birds of the air came, and they ate up all the seed off the sidewalk. And he said another time he threw some seeds, and it went on a rocky soil, man. And because the rocks were there, that the seed has no depth. And that pretty soon the seeds, just maybe they sprouted up because there was no depth to the roots. They were blown away. They faded away. They died away. He says other seed that was sown, it fell upon thorny soil. He said where the thorns were, and the thorns rose up and they choked it out. And it had no life and it just didn't do anything because it was on thorny soil. He said other seed, it was thrown upon good, fertile soil. And it took a hold of root, and it grew, and it multiplied. Man, there was a massive crop there. And he was saying the same way happens to you and I in our life, that we are that kind of people, that we're the kind of people that either our hearts are ready to receive, our hearts are ready to receive the Word of God. What's the seed? It's the Word of God. We're ready to receive God's Word in our life. Or what? Or you become like the other people who don't want to receive. I would take the Scripture, but I don't like that. You know, and you become more like a sidewalk. Your heart's hardened. Or maybe your surroundings choke it out. The Word of God comes there. But the people around you are like thorns, and they choke out what God's trying to put in your life because you're surrounded by people who choke out the things of God around you because they're a bad influence on you. Or maybe you're like the person who, the seed who fell upon the rocks. That, yeah, oh God, I'm going to serve you today. I leave here. It's a good worship time, good message. Oh, I'm going to do it. Because there's no foundation. Because there's no fertile soil there that you take root real fast, but there's nowhere for your roots to go. You have no root system. You don't foundationally grow, and you kind of wither away. And he talks about that, and he's talking about that. But also, it's very clear that this, we got to learn to sow the seed. We got to learn to be seed sowers. We got to learn to throw out our seed, because you never know when you throw that seed out. Yeah, that person may be a hardened heart. You know what? And once you throw out the seed, it may not be taken. But you never know when that person's heart has begun to be tilled up, and that person's spirit has become fertile, and they're just waiting for somebody to throw some seed their way because they're ready to take a hold and to grow and to give their life to Christ. They're ready to do it, but we got to learn to be seed sowers. We got to learn to sow seed. Jesus was very good about this. I mean, 30% of his words were words of information, and 70% of his words were application. Do you realize that? 70% of his words were application, telling stories about applying the Word of God to your life, and 30% was about information. And Jesus was about telling people about, hey, just get out there and tell people about the love of God. Tell what God has done in your life. Get out of your comfort zone. He was good about this. You know, we've got to learn to sow seed. Some people get real comfortable when I speak. We're getting this comfort zone, don't we? Some of you this morning, maybe you're here and you're falling asleep already. Nudge your neighbor and tell them to wake up. You know, when I was growing up, my father used to sit on stage. He was an associate pastor at this church we went to. This is back when they had all the chairs, right? I mean, you know, TBN all the way, right there on the stage. Had all these big, you know, I never understood it. They had the big plush golden chair, you know, the big plush chairs on the stage. Everybody else had the really thin cushion. But all the pastors and all the, you know, okay, I'll still go there. Anyway, they had all the pastors, had all these big chairs on the stage. And he was an associate pastor, and he would sit on the stage, and he sat on one side, and the other pastor sat on the other side, and they had this little table between them. And the table had a buzzer and a phone. And it was a hotline, a one-way line, all the way to the sound booth. Now, when I got to be the age of about 15 and 16, for some crazy reason, they thought I was responsible enough to get back there and run sound. And so my friend and I, we would get up there, and we'd help run sound during the services, age of 15 or 16. And that was pretty cool, but what was the funnest thing for me to do was this, that my dad would be in service, and while the pastor's preaching, I could see my dad doing this right here. And I would push that buzzer, and nobody could hear but him and I, and I'd push that buzzer, and he'd do this right here. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen. I mean, it's easy to get comfortable in church, isn't it? It's easy. I mean, some of you here, you get so comfortable. We get so comfortable, even in church. It's an easy place to get comfortable. And the problem is this. We have a lazy boy spirit. It's very easy to happen. I mean, let me tell you this. You find a new Christian, and they're on fire for God. But there's something that happens when we put a new Christian in a church with a bunch of people who've been saved for a long time. What happens? You give them about 2 years, and pretty soon you hear this big vacuuming sound. Sucking them into this what? Comfortable situation. Oh, yeah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just bless the Lord. I mean, blessing the Lord today. And what happens? We get this mentality of this. Ah. Oh, boy, church is good. Oh, I love to worship. You know what? I could just spend all day in worship. The presence of God is so good. I mean, this is a good place to be. Pastor, oh, the pastor's messages, oh, they're so good. I know you say that every day. Oh, God, they're so good. Oh, feed me. Give me the spiritual food. Oh, feed me. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm eating of the spiritual food. Oh, it's so good. And pretty soon we become spiritual gluttons. I mean, we are spiritually obese. Give me, give me, give me, give me. I'm eating, I'm eating. When do you get up and say, you know what, I got to give out? At what point do you get out of your recliner and say, you know what, I got to break this lazy poor spirit and I got to get out there and give? I've had people who've come to Destiny as we started the church, and good people, and I love them, you know, but sometimes their spirit is, you know, well, we're looking for a church that's a little more about what we want. As we were starting the new church, we're looking for somewhere where it has more seasoned Christians, or people who've been saved a lot. You know, I'm thinking, how long have you been saved? You've been saved 20 years, 25 years? Jump in and help us take somebody somewhere. Jump in and help us disciple somebody. Jump in and let's go together. I mean, what point are you quit saying, it's all about me, what I like. It's about the songs that I like. It's about the style that I like. It's about the kind of services that I like. What is it about Jesus and about reaching people? Oh, I know I'm not talking to anybody but maybe one person this morning, but still. This is the way we live our lives. This is the way we are so used to being comfortable. We got to break this lazy boy spirit and say, you know what? It's just not about me, but it's about reaching another person. It's about that person on Monday that, you know what, yes, I'm going to come. And Sunday morning, I'm going to receive the Lord. But you know what else I'm doing on Sunday morning? I'm looking out. Who's new today? Who's new today? Oh, there's somebody that's new. Oh, it's so good to have you today. Let me invite you to our small group. Let me tell you what's going on. You need to come tonight at the park. Let me invite you to the park tonight. And boy,
You got kids, all got kids your same age, and where do you go to school at? I mean, you're inviting people. When is church all about me coming in and saying, oh, here's my chair. No one's in my spot. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, they're singing my song. Hallelujah. See how easy it is, even in church? We get so comfortable. No, I've got to come in. Yeah, I want to bless the Lord. And yes, I want to receive and be fed. But it should be, is there somebody new today also? Is there somebody here, boy, who needs to know Jesus? God, in my spirit, I know I'm praying for the surfer. God, I'm praying that people that are here this morning, their hearts be softened to hear you. Those who need to accept Jesus as the Lord. And, I mean, are you praying in your spirit? What are you doing? Is there somebody who's coming in that you know hasn't probably been raised in church? And they're probably thinking, man, these people are crazy. Look at them, man, they're dancing and shouting. I mean, these people are lost. I didn't know church could be. But what about if you come up to them and say, you know what, hey, you know what, we got kids the same age. It's good to see you. Wow, you know what? I guess they're more like me than I thought, you know. I guess I could come back a second time because, you know, they got kids our own age and they care about, they got a kids fest coming on. And I mean, you see what important role you play even in the church? And when we get out of church, what do? All right, God, I'm being spiritually fed. I'm being spiritually pumped up. I'm being refreshed in my spirit. So when I leave here, I can give it away. I mean, you should be so dry in your spirit because you've given away everything you are during the week that when you come in Sunday morning, you're like a sponge. All right, God, time for a refill. Man, I'm ready to refresh myself because I've been giving it out all week. I've been praying for people all week. I've been witnessing to people all week. You see, getting out of our comfort zone. But our natural tendency is to live right here. What I like, what's comfortable to me. And my family, my coworkers, my neighbors, they can go to hell because I'm comfortable. Now, I've had a few neighbors, so I've thought about that before. I've had a few coworkers, so I've thought about that before. But you know what? Their life means something to Jesus. And it's those people that I realize that they stretch me the most. And I'll grow the most when I begin to befriend them. When I show them the love of God. It's when I grow the most. Satan, he wants us to be right here. I mean, Satan's going to do everything he can. He's going to puff up your seat. I mean, he wants you to live right here. This is where he wants you to live. Why? Because if you're right here, what happens? Nothing. Exactly. So he wants you to be comfortable. He wants you to live your life right here. Some of you have lived on the edge before. Some of you know what I'm talking about, man. You've been out there. You've lived on the edge of Christianity where you've laid on the line for God. But somewhere along the line, you've allowed yourself to be sucked into this Christianese thing of comfort that we get into where it's all about me. And I'm all right with God, and I love God. So that's all that matters. No, it's not what all matters. Because he has called you and I to make a difference, to be his witness. He's called us. Some of us here, we say, you know what? I'm through with all that. I think I'll just immerse myself in the Bible. Immerse. I'll become Bible boy. Mission man. Bible girl, I'm just going to read the Word of God and disciple myself. And if I do this, then there's no way I can fail and I can live a life for God as long as I breathe and live this Word of God in my life and read it. You know, oh, I'm safe right here. Somebody may even sleep like this. The Bible is just not for information. The Bible is for transformation. See, the Bible is just not to give us information to help us, but it's also to transform my life. That when I read it, I'm transformed, and I want to help transform somebody else's life. I've got to live the Word of God. Got to be out there. Got to get out of our lazy boy. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, we are called to do the work of an evangelist. Work. Notice it said, Look what he says there. We are called to do the work. Everybody say work. It's not easy. It's work. He said, we're called to do the work of an evangelist. We're called to reach people. In closing today, let me give you a couple things I want you to do. I want you to work on. I'll give you some little homework here. Number one, I want you to begin to realize that you have been strategically placed where you are by God in the universe. You have been strategically placed where you are by God. And God has you where you are for a reason. When you're realizing this, and when you come to this understanding that God has me where I am for a reason, it's to make a difference. Some of you, maybe you're here, and you think, why did God bring me to the four-state area? He has you here for a reason. Some of you are thinking, what has God got me in a new church for? He has you here for a reason. Why did God change my jobs after so many years? He has you there for a reason. And as we realize that, then it goes along with number two, I want to challenge you to pray a Colossians 4 prayer. I want you to learn to pray this prayer in your life for the next 30 days. I want you to begin to pray this prayer of your life. It says this: devote yourselves to praying, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Simply, I want you just to paraphrase that in your prayer and say, God, open the door. God, open the door for me to proclaim who you are in my life. That's simple. God, open the door for me to proclaim who you are in my life. That's simple. I'm not asking you to take your Bible out and begin to preach a message in the corner, screaming as loud as you can. I'm not asking you to do anything other than to pray, God, help me to be open. Open the doors for me to share who you are in my life. I challenge you to begin to pray that for 30 days and see what God does in your life. I've been asked this. I've went to Bible college. I've studied with theologians. I've studied Greek and Hebrew. Man, I've taught, you know, I know this stuff. But someone has asked me this question before, and I'll tell you the answer. What's the best way for you to mature? What's the fastest way and the best way for you to mature as a believer? Simply do this. It's to share. To share your witness, to be a witness. When you begin to share with people what God's done in your life, I see people change so much because it changes the way you live your life. It changes the way you talk to your waiter. It changes the way you talk to the person in line with you at Walmart. It changes the way you talk to your cashier. It changes the way you talk to your coworkers, to your employer, to your employees. It changes the way you talk to your family. It changes the way you talk to your neighbors. It will change you as I share. You know, and use Destiny Church as a leverage. Use Destiny Church as leverage. Man, you got a great church. And most of you here is because somebody's invited you. That's a great thing. That's a good thing. That means something's happening. I told somebody the other day, I said, we should never stop growing. If we ever get to a place where we're not growing, there's one or two things going on. Either there's something that's happening where we're not being relevant, or number two, we're all getting so comfortable that we're forgetting to reach out. So why is it important that we always grow? Because if we're always growing, that means what? That means that you're inviting. That you're inviting people. And that we're doing something right here because you want to invite somebody. I've attended a few churches in my life where I understand why people did not want to invite somebody, okay? You know, I understand. We have a church where we have relevant music. We have life application word. We have good children's ministries, youth ministries. You have a safe place to invite people to come. Use it to your advantage. Use it, man. Invite people to be at church and see what happens in their life. You never know the person you're talking to. They're ready. So I'm asking you to do those things right there. Begin to pray that prayer. God, open the door for me. Let's bow our heads. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, you're talking about getting out of your comfort zone, I must admit, first of all, that I just need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have accepted Jesus Christ before in my life. And today, as you're talking, I realize that, first of all, I just want to ask Jesus into my life. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to make sure you have that chance today before you leave here today. Can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, Pastor, I just want to ask Jesus into my life. I want to say the Jesus that I want to serve him today. Anybody here today? No one's looking but me. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it and say it's me? Second question I have for you today is this. Say, Pastor, as you're talking about getting out of your comfort zone, I realized that, wow, I've allowed myself to get very comfortable. And as you're speaking today, I'm gonna make a public confession to God today that said I'm gonna do a better job. I want God to stretch me out of my comfort zone. I want God to get me out of my spiritual lazy boy. And I want to begin to pray that prayer that God would help me to pray this prayer that he would open the door for me every day to be his witness. If God's speaking to you today and you want to make that commitment, can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, Pastor, he's speaking to me? Yeah. Lots of hands. Anybody else? Yeah. Thank you, guys, for being honest. God's speaking to you. Thank you. That's good. That's good. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. This is going to be a good series. We talk about stretching ourselves and fighting off this lazy boy spirit and getting out and making a difference. We're going to talk about different areas of our life. But this is such an important area when it comes to reaching people. This is what we're called to do. We are called to reach people. I'm called to be his witness. His Holy Spirit will empower you. I believe today that God is raising up people, and he's looking for a remnant of people who will raise up and say, God, I'll be your witness. God, I will be your witness. And that happens when you just allow God to do that in your life. I challenge you, go there. Get out of your comfort zone. Allow yourself to go there. Father, I pray for every hand that was raised today. I thank you, God, for their honest commitment, Lord, and saying they're honest in their spirit by admitting that, God, that they have been very comfortable. God, I know what it means to be there. I have to watch myself. I can get there very easy. We all can. And I pray to God that the spirit, Lord, of this Christian spirit that we get into sometimes, of being so lazy in our Christian spirit, Lord, that we forget that we're called to reach people and to get out of our comfort zone and to welcome other people into the kingdom of God and to share what you've done in our heart to those who don't even know you and those who are not living for you. God, I pray for those who raised their hands today, God, may the power of your Holy Spirit today begin to fill them, God, to the point, Lord, where they know that, God, it's your power to be your witness, God, that you are empowering them, Lord, to be your witness, that, God, your Spirit will give them the words to say when it's time, and, God, as they step out and begin to engage people in conversation, that, God, that you give them, Lord, the words to say, and we can simply tell you, Lord, to tell our friends, tell our coworkers, our neighbors, or the people we meet in the store of what you've done in my life, that you have changed my life. That simple. That God, when I found you, I found what I was looking for, and you changed me. That God, as we reach out, begin to tell people, Lord, I pray the Lord, there's a transformation that takes place, Lord, in Destiny Church. I pray there's a transformation that would take place that, Lord, we would not become a church of lazy boy recliners, Lord, but we would be a church, Lord, where we are looking, Lord, to get out of our comfort zone and to reach people for Jesus. Help us to create a comfortable environment when people come in, Lord, they feel comfortable here. But God, may as we become Christians, Lord, may we be challenged, Lord, to get out of our comfort, Lord, to welcome others, Lord, into the kingdom of God, to welcome others into the body of Christ, to welcome others into our church, Lord, into your church, Lord, to help others, Lord, and to reach others at our work, Lord, and in the marketplace, in our neighborhood, as we tell them about the transformation you've done in our life, God, we're believing that some of these seeds are going to fall upon good soil. And we thank you, God, that you are changing us, God, that you are challenging us, God, to grow. We say yes to you today. Can we just raise our hands and say yes to you today, God? We raise our hands and saying yes to you, Lord. Lord, we say yes, Lord, get us out of our comfort zone. Yes to you today, God. Stretch us, God, in our Christian walk. Stretch me, God, as a pastor. Stretch me, God, as a father, as your witness, as a husband. Stretch me, God. Get me out of my comfort zone. We thank you, Jesus. Let me give you praise. Let me say it together. Amen. Amen. God bless you today.
We'll see you tonight, unless it's just raining and thunder and lightning big time. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. We've got a lot of food, so show up. Come and have some fun, okay? All right.